Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your sober calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we're broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across the deadly country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. And yes, we are living in an upside down world at the moment with COVID-19. We need to abide by the rules and respect the rules that are in place to keep the community safe and keep us all safe. So until we get out of this this upside down world we're living in. And speaking of upside down world, we're going to catch up in regards to the COVID-19, how it affects all of us. Going to catch up a yarn with Brother Ross Andrews online, Mayor of Yarrabah, and touch base with the brother on the line. Ross, very good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trev, and morning to the listeners. And I just want to acknowledge country as well.
Too beautiful. Thank you, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. My brother, so we had a chat last week on a local program here in Cairns regarding Yarrabah and the constituents there, the mob there, a little bit upset with some of the mob there regarding the COVID-19 and a bit of protesting going on. Just touching base, Ross, thank you for coming to the program and how mob is travelling over there at the moment.
Yeah, I think a little bit settled this week and on the weekend. So, yeah, everything's all right out there at the moment. Yeah, there was a bit of a demonstration last week, and you know that happens in any democracy.
Sure.
I guess, you know, when you're restricted in a confined area for a certain amount of period of time, so it causes a bit of tension and a bit of frustration. But you know, that's democracy.
It is, my brother, it is. And freedom of speech and everybody, black and white, can say their piece. But like I said, we are living in an upside-down world. There are rules in place to protect us all, and because there is no vaccine for this virus, and it's really made it difficult regarding the world we're living in now. But the only way we can contain it is abide by the rules, yep?
Yeah, it's very fortunate and unfortunate that Yarrabah is one of a number of communities that have a biosecurity measure on it. Mm. So due to, I guess, systemic neglect of government for many, many years, we are probably one of the most vulnerable people in Australia at the moment.
Yes.
So we've got high overcrowding. We've got high chronic disease in our community, and you know, we welcome any support to try and minimise potential risk of, I guess, you know, looking after our mob.
And look, the good news is there's been no cases of the COVID-19 in Yarrabah, and that's where you want to keep it, yes?
Yeah, we'd like to keep Yarrabah COVID-19 free. So we are working with the appropriate authorities and listening to community as well. Mm-hmm. But it's a bit of a challenge, and it's such a complex issue that we're...
And a bit of a juggling act, as you would say, Ross.
A bit of a juggling act, yeah, because this is unprecedented times, you know. So
yes.
COVID-19 is very challenging. It's very complex for all of us. Mm. And we can understand people's frustration out there, but I think in the interest of, or best interest of our community, we'd like to keep it COVID-19 free.
Mm. As you mentioned, vulnerable people we are as a First Nation people, especially our elders. And when we talk about a First Nation community, I mentioned last week, and I used the description as a stationary a ruby princess. If it does come through, it can go through like a hellfire, and we need to prevent that.
Yeah, as you said before, we need to protect our most vulnerable, and our elders are most vulnerable, so... if there was a potential case anywhere, I mean, you lose culture, you lose
yes.
tradition, you lose storytelling, so...
A lot at stake, hey?
Yeah, there's a lot at stake, and we'd like to protect that.
Exactly. Exactly. And the old phrase, you know, best to be safe than sorry. We are not out of the woods, and that's across the globe. You even look at United States and England, the big countries. They're talking about going back into normality, but treading very carefully. And so no matter where you are on the globe, that's how we should all abide by and attack this so-called virus.
Yeah, it is the local and the state and the national and the international environment out there that we have to be mindful about as well. So, you know, Australia's done really well in terms of
preventing
an outbreak of, you know, the COVID-19 across the country. So, and we have to continue to be vigilant and continue to be working really hard with the appropriate authorities about minimising a potential risk of putting a more... exposed to.
Sure. So where's Yarrabah at regarding the roads? Are they open for visit in, for people going in and out, or the restrictions are still pretty strong in that sense?
I think the restrictions still apply.
Yep.
There's been some restrictions lifted for mainstream Queenslanders and mainstream Australia. It's very unfortunate that Yarrabah is with the other biosecurity determination areas are still restricted in terms of access and entry, but I know our council and our local disaster management group have been working really, really hard over the last few weeks, you know, in terms of mobilising food security, trying to get education back on the track for our kids this week, looking at amendments to the supply of, you know, the restrictions of alcohol, but in a good way, because there are people out there that are, have chronic addiction, so we're trying to mobilise some support around that, around social-emotional well-being, and, you know, we're working with all the appropriate authorities about making Yarrabah COVID-free.
Exactly. And it's about making the tough decisions, and you as the mayor have got to make those tough decisions, and it's well, all in respect for your community and the mob and the elders, of course, in regarding this COVID-19.
Yeah, it's such a complex issue. We have health, public health advice and expertise around, you know, the health orders, but we've also got to try and balance that with community expectations, community requests, and cultural issues out there as well. So finding a balance between public health advice, looking at how do we protect our community whilst there's a request and a demand for services. So, yeah, it's a bit of a juggling act, and it's tough.
It is tough. Well, love the work that you're doing, and look, doing a great job in that sense, and there's no cases. That is your goal, and by Biden, by rules, the goal can stay in place, and that's what we're looking at in regards to the future. But we are all in this together, as the phrase that putting across the country, and look, hats off to you, Ross, and big shout out to all the mob there at Yarrabah, and look, have patience and stand together strong, and let's get through this, my brother.
Yeah, no, thanks, Trev, and thanks to your radio station, and big shout out to the mob out there in the country, you know, to take care and keep safe.
Yeah, brother, beautiful. You take care. All the best, Ross. You take care.
Thanks, bro.
Bye-bye. That's Adela Yarn there with the Mayor of Yarrabah, Ross Andrews, and a juggling act regarding keeping the community safe. There's no cases of COVID-19 in Yarrabah, and that's his goal, to keep it that way. There was a bit of tension there last week regarding people protesting in regards to the restrictions, and they've settled down, and communication has been put across the table, so to speak, to all the mob there, and we need to keep it safe, your mob. So big shout out, love there to Yarrabah mob. Thank you very much to all our beautiful mothers as well, celebrating Mother's Day on the weekend. There was a little bit of ease tension in regards to the restrictions for our beautiful mothers, but we did it all safe, and that's very, very important. You mob, have your say. Yarn up strong here on National Talk Black with the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, a voice for our people, so do utilise it. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. You can text the brother 045-714-0550 or our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. We're going across the nation. Thanks to NERS, and we're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. Too deadly.
was an early August morning. You caught everyone by surprise. You came 4 weeks early. You must have known you didn't have too long. And when you entered this world, you were the cutest little boy. I had a smile on my face. I finally got to meet the little man. Then you showed me the little things in life, how most of us take it for granted every day. And with the pain that you went through, you was the toughest little guy that I ever knew. Now days turn to weeks. You were looking so cute and sweet. You had a frown on your face. I wonder who you took after. Well, that'll be me. We got to know your little ways, leaving precious memories along the way. You kicked your feet out so strong. It didn't seem like there was nothing wrong at all. And when the time had come and you had to go, I held you tightly in my arms, oh, so strong. Looking down at you with a tear on my face, it was the time the little angels took you to a safe place. I miss you. I'll meet you someday. I miss you. I miss you, little man. Oh, I miss you. Yes, I miss you, but I'll meet you again, my little man.
Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can give us a call and have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn up strong, your mob, too, Delhi. Now, I'm going to catch up with our Delhi brother from WA, that's Dwayne Mullard, and he's the chair of the Yemiji COVID-19 Emergency Response Group. And with the world we're living at the moment, with this virus, COVID-19, and protecting our mob, First Nation people, especially our elders, look, a beautiful movement that Dwayne heads up. And we've got him on the line now. Dwayne, a very good morning, my brother. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Trevor. Yes, look, it is trying times, and, you know, I'd like to start off with just pay my respects for our elders and our old people and our ancestors that have gone before us around this beautiful country of ours, and that we all sink deeply into the spirit of this land, which is going to hold us strong this time and guide us on the way forward. I also pay my respects to the Noongar's, Wajak Noongar Budja is where I'm broadcasting from today, Perth.
Fantastic. Brother, to Delhi.
Nanda, man. Yeah, so...
That's your mob?
Yeah.
Beautiful, brother. Thank you very much. Look, it's about, well, here we are, COVID-19. The world is tipped upside down. Australian government is doing their best to protect Australians. But we like to think, you know, sometimes we tend to get missed as in First Nation people, especially our elders, and it's about our leaders, First Nation leaders, to stand up. And you've taken the reins in regard to protecting your mob in your communities there. Tell us about the Yovert COVID-19 Emergency Response Group and how it all started, please, brother.
Yeah, thanks for that, Trevor. I'll start with a couple of things, and that is that of intention. So we had a national Prime Minister state with the intention that they wanted to safeguard our most vulnerable, and they identified our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander elders and those living with comorbidities, and also those that were living in our remote communities as the most vulnerable Australians. And that was echoed by our state premiers and a chief minister in the Northern Territory. Secondly, intention by Minister for Health, Federal Minister for Health, Greg Hunt, stated that they will guarantee they'll fight for the life of every Australian.
Fantastic.
So let's sit with that for a minute. Because with the emergency response and our people being the most vulnerable and the clamber for locking states and regions down, we had to alleviate a food and hygiene security crisis 5 weeks ago because our remote community doesn't have a food store and had to drive 500 k's one way when there was buying restrictions and then also supply issues. They ran out of food after 5 days. So in the scramble to try and find a thread, we understood that there was the federal government was setting up task force, the states were setting up task force, even regions were setting up task force. Unfortunately, our critical needs on the ground weren't part of those conversations and dialogues, and we needed to not have a lineal discussion of how the strategy came down to our community, and then if we were already in lockdown, not having the time to implement some of the critical needs around infrastructure, supply and personnel to ensure that we were locking down and safeguarding our most vulnerable. You know,
sure. But then the necessities, like you said, like shopping, is not on the card, so to speak, in a lockdown.
No, it wasn't. There was I wouldn't say broad statements, but there were some statements made of intent that in safeguarding our remote communities, we are going to lock down and restrict movement. And effectively, people then thought, oh, our people are safe. But the question needed to be asked, and has been asked, and has been worked on feverishly for over 5 weeks now.
Yep.
Did we have the infrastructure to lock down? Where was
exactly.
Our quarantine location?
Exactly. Yep.
We've got one community doesn't even have a medical clinic; has to go. It has a visiting doctor once a month. You know, the other community, 120 people, has one medical nurse. That is more like a bit of a triage. to refer it into Carnarvon, which is like about 500 kilometres away.
So, Brother Dwayne, you could say that, in a way, COVID-19 has exposed the government in regarding the livelihood of First Nation people in communities.
It exactly has done that. And so what my concern is with the really good response by the state and federal government around locking, closing international borders and closing state borders and setting up regional travel restrictions, we've actually, let's just say, we've bought time because COVID-19 has not gone away.
Exactly.
So we've bought time. However, then what's crept into the conversation in the last week and a half is, what you'll ask, your critical need and ask around infrastructure, supply and personnel, perhaps necessarily isn't a COVID-19 response. It's a Aboriginal housing reform response. Aboriginal community reform response. And it's like, no, we can't be lost in the conversation of politics here.
Yes.
And we've got Pat Turner, CEO of NACHU, who's said the same thing in the last couple of weeks as well around close the gap. What COVID-19 has done has brought into stark realisation that our people are living well below the basic standards of human rights and standards of living in this country.
Dwayne, I heard the statement where... Well, this is a first world country, and when you got people living in a first world country as a third world country, they are classed as fourth world country. I mean, call it what it is, but that's how First Nation people in this country is being treated. Yep.
Most definitely, and it is in subtle ways, and some of it is structural. And that's why we need to address it, because, like, case in point, we've got a remote community that's 500 k's from the nearest town, and it has gone into lockdown. However, lockdown, how it looks like, is food still needs to be delivered on a weekly basis.
Yep.
If there's a plumbing issue, someone needs to travel 500 kilometres one way to fix an essential health need. If there's an electrical problem, the electrician needs to travel in. If there's a mechanical problem with a 24-hour diesel generator or a supply issue with the fuel, someone needs to travel in. So how is that community being safeguarded in
lockdown?
For lockdown,
exactly.
where we don't have the virus in our community, yet we've got continued movement in and out of the community from people that are potentially...
They could be infected, that's right, exactly, and bringing the virus into the community. And our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities, I use the phrase or the description as a Ruby Princess situation, stationary as ship, so to speak, because if it goes through an Aboriginal community, it'll go through like wildfire.
Well, definitely, and it's sort of like the reverse of that. It feels like the Ruby Princesses, say the city of Perth in Western Australia, and you've got essential services coming out of Perth continually going into lockdown regions where travel's restricted. And the thing with essential services is they're not tested.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
There is an onus on their employers to ensure that they fit for work, and they were told that these are some of the guidelines and make sure people don't have fevers and all that. But what does that look like? With a truck driver leaving Perth that's delivering essential goods and items, whether they're supply items or food, into remote communities or remote townships, they've driven through 2 to 3 zones, yet they haven't had a health test.
Exactly. Dwayne, where are we at with the Yemen COVID-19 Emergency Response Group? How far are you down the road, and what has the government put in place, and are they listening or are they picking up what you're putting down, so to speak?
Yeah, well, look, and I do want to touch on that. The Yamaji response for the region is a very strong and positive space. It's a proactive group. It's around critical analysis. It's around the critical ask of the unmet need. However, it's not critical judgment. We want to highlight our concerns and our needs to the state and federal government, and we need them to be addressed as per the fact that we're under state of emergency. We can't be lost in rhetoric of what's a, like I said, a COVID-19 response and what is a remote community housing reform.
Well, they come hand in hand, and like, is what comes first, the chicken or the egg? We've been behind the eight ball before the virus came along, and now it has been exposed, and it shows the situation they're in, which is a dangerous situation for our mob.
Yeah, and I must say, with such a large region, the dynamics is varied from town to remote community. So we've got townships where overcrowding is a big issue, and yet we've got multiple houses in our regional townships that are apart for community houses that are boarded up and vacant. And so one of the requests from the group is that we ask the Department for Communities to open up and bring back online some of those houses so we can alleviate an overcrowding problem.
Yep.
Because how do you practice social distance
exactly
if you've got 15 people living in one home?
Exactly, brother.
And if
exactly
someone is infected or at risk of being infected or displaying symptoms, how do they isolate in one room when four people are sharing that room?
Mm-hmm. So where were we at with our discussion with government? Where's the Yemen COVID-19 Emergency Response Group? Where are you at, brother?
Yeah, so what we do is we feed once a week. We've been meeting three times weekly on a Monday and Wednesday and Friday.
Mm-hmm.
We feed weekly into the Department for Communities Aboriginal Regional Task Force for the Midwest Gascoyne. And that's led by Jamie Strickland, the Regional Manager for Communities. And it also has senior members for health, senior members for police, and also a number of people from the Yamaji COVID-19 emergency response team. So we've tabled our critical needs and asks, some have been taken on notice, some have been pushed further up the line because they're outside the decision making of the region. We understand that.
Sure.
But we've spoken quite clearly with that forum to say that we will press up the line, not only to senior members of government departments, but we actually this week will need to write to our Premier and our state ministers, because we can't be lost in the conversation. And we can't be lost in rhetoric based on reform.
Well, exactly, Dwayne. But we also cannot be sitting on the bench waiting for the process due diligence. We need to cut through the red tape, and this is a matter of urgency. You know,
definitely, and that's what's been seen and felt with the Yamaji regional response is that this is the first time that we've got our community leaders across the whole region.
Yep.
It's not a native title model. It's not.
No.
This is a town model. It's not led by government. It's led by us. It's led by Yamajis on the ground. Senior community members.
Yep.
And senior organisational either CEOs and chairpersons. And I must say, Trevor, we've actually solved in having a transparent and open conversation around the critical need to keep our people safe. We've actually solved a lot of our own issues, and what we've done is,
of course, from the inside out, brother. Working from the inside out, brother.
That's right. Very powerful.
Yep.
And the group wants to keep going after this.
Exactly. Yep.
And we need to have a strong position within community of what's a united voice. Stand strong together.
Beautiful, yes. So in actual fact, the COVID-19, in a way you could say, has been an angel in disguise.
It in many ways it has. It's forced people to push conflicting agendas.
Yep.
or even just allowing people to just lift their gaze a little bit.
Sure.
And see how they can support one another and think beyond themselves or their own political space. And that's certainly what's emerged in the Yamaji region. I commend all our community leaders that have been part of the forum.
Yes.
And it's not a closed group. It's been a call out far and wide to all our leaders to come on board, support one another, and stand united as we ask state and federal governments to deliver on what the critical need is within the Yamaji region. And what I might say, Trevor, is this was actually started out of, I think it was around March 23rd, 24th. Myself and 10 other people from around the nation did a Zoom call to see whether what my concerns were for my region were mirrored or similar around the nation. And there was some Mariner people on there, people from the East Coast as well. And what we understood was there was a concern that many of our people were slipping through the gap. So what we wrote to Minister Ken Wyatt, unfortunately with no response, I might add, with a detailed blueprint on calling for an orchestrated national response for remote communities and vulnerable Aboriginal Australians and Torres Strait Islander Australians. Because I think from the top, that's what we need. And rather than us trying to ask multiple government departments, can you help us, can you help us? Our greatest support so far has come from industry.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Well, the phrase they're running with, the affirmation they're running with in regarding the government and the country and COVID-19 is we are all in this together. Well, hello. Well done is better than well said. We need to act on it and need to bring the bring it to the table and act on it. Duane, look, I thank you very much for your conversation. Very important space you're working in, and big shout out there to the mob there in your communities there, Gascoyne and Murchison, the regions of Western Australia, and the Yamaji COVID-19 Emergency Response Group is a powerful movement as such, and it tackles not only COVID-19 but the livelihood of our people in communities, and all our mob across the country are listening to the conversation that we're having. And it just also empowers and motivates, inspires our other mob in the situation, Brother Duane.
Yes, look, thanks, Trevor, and to all the mob over that way, and for allowing us to be on this platform. You know, I call on all our leaders around the country to stand united as one, to create a collective voice for your region, and we will come together as one nationally. Mm-hmm. It's no longer acceptable that our community members need to drive 500 kilometres one way to buy food without any food or hygiene security or fuel supply within that community. Mm. It's no longer acceptable that we have 120 plus people living remotely with no doctor and in that community. It's no longer
in the 21st century, ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's no longer acceptable that there is economies around our remote communities and we're not connected or attached to it through employment or through supply chain opportunities. This needs to change. COVID-19 and the compromising of the safety of our people has brought it into stark realization, and it's time that we lose words that describe a situation, and whether that's close the gap report or reform or whatever. And it's the work that's being done is what's the intention.
Yep.
And the intention is for first world living conditions, access to opportunity and choice for all Australians, that no Australian child should be born into a circumstance that compromises the basic human right to feel safety, for love, and that to access to opportunity.
Beautiful.
And that's what this is about.
Exactly. Duane, all the best to you, my brother. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong, stay safe, and we'll talk soon, Duane.
No worries, will do. Thanks very much.
Cheers, bro. Duane Mallard, his name is, and he's the chair of the Yamaji COVID-19 Emergency Response Group, and how they've responded or acted in their own way and grabbing the bulls by the horn regarding protecting their communities and making a stand and talking to government, and government needs to come to the table in regard to necessities of life. Look, you can have your say, your mob, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trev Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416.
Hey brothers and our sisters, listen to my song. Hear the sound of the didgeridoo and feel it in your soul. Hear the sound of the clapsticks, spirits of the land. Clapping of the boomerang as it echoed through the land. My land, hear the boomerang. My land, it's a dream time. My land, hear the clapsticks. My child, handed down through families around the old campfire. They told of our ancestors and spirits of the land. You can almost feel their presence as they walk throughout the land. My land, hear the boomerangs. My land, it's a dream time. My land, hear the clap sticks. My land. Listen to my song, hear the sound of the clapsticks and feel it in your soul. Hear the sound of the boomerang, spirits of the land, droning of the didgeridoo as it echoed through the land. My land,
my land,
hear the boomerangs, my land. It's a dream time, my land. Hear the clap sticks, my land. My land, it's a dream time.
Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can give us a call and have your say by calling that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Dr. Chris Ruller-Baker, Australian Indigenous Doctors Association. He's the president, and they're talking about AIDA, which is acronym, who back calls for early release of prisoners to prevent the spread of COVID-19. On the line, we have Dr. Chris. Very good morning. How are you, Dr. Chris?
Good morning. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, my brother, for coming to the program. First of all, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so mum's side is Yagara from around Brisbane area, where I am now, and Warrawool from up in North Queensland there, and on dad's side is Rajuri.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, the space you're working in, or being the president of the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, are you back calls for early release of prisoners to prevent the spread of COVID-19? Look, I look at prisons in this day and age with COVID-19 upon us. I look at prisons as a stationary ruby princess, so to speak, with the spread of COVID-19. Probably not a good place to be with a virus, yes?
That's a really good way of putting it, that it's like a stationary Ruby Princess. It's a big mob of people in one spot, but different to Ruby Princess, which is sailing out in the oceans. There are prisons, as you know, have lots and lots of people coming in and out, deliveries and transfers of people. And if that virus was to get in there, especially for our mob, then that could potentially have a big impact. And, you know, they might be in there for often minor offences, but if they get COVID, then they could get really, really sick. And that's not okay. That's a social justice issue.
Exactly. And so when you're talking about minor offences, they're the prisoners that we're talking about. So, you know, and if not a fine or come back after COVID-19 to continue their sentence as such, is that what you're looking at, Dr. Chris?
Either that or people who are being held in custody awaiting trial. So some people haven't been found guilty yet for them. To let them go, if the authorities are particularly concerned, then they can put, you know, tracking bracelets or whatever on. But we're not talking about serious offenders, as you said. We're talking about minor offences, unpaid fines. Some jurisdictions, you know, you have three offences and then it's automatic sentencing. Those mob there, if they're due for early release, then release them early. If they could have a parole consideration, consider their parole and take that into account that they're in there with COVID.
Dr. Chris, in regards to the ADA backing the calls for early release of prisoners to prevent the spread of COVID-19, where are we at regarding this conversation? Are we at the table with the so-called ministers? Is there light at the end of the tunnel? Are they looking, leaning more towards, yes, this could be a goer, or where are we at with the situation?
Official responses are always slow to come through, and as you said, the call came out last week. It has come through, though, and I'm not sure what state. I'll have to find out where it was, but there was a parole hearing for an Indigenous person somewhere in Australia where COVID-19 was taken into account, and they were actually given an early parole, and that was a part of the consideration. So each jurisdiction, each state, each area has different rules and will respond differently, but we're already seeing some signs on the ground that's being fed back that maybe in some areas it's being taken into consideration.
Well, time waits for nobody, and we probably need to move fast on this. Do you know of any records of COVID-19, the virus that has hit any of the prisoners?
Not that we know of. Luckily for our mob, the numbers tracking last week nationally were about 56 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people had COVID detected in them. None of them were in rural or remote, and none that we know of were in prisons. I don't know how much screening is going on in prisons as well, so we're just going to keep that in the back of our minds. But the mobs, they did find it in around sort of metropolitan and sort of towns, Western New South Wales, that sort of thing, so more east coast. At this point, not that we know of, but as I said, the other bit of that is I don't know how much testing is going on in the prisons. I just simply don't know.
Well, exactly. And they say no news is good news, but to a certain extent, when we're talking about the spread of COVID-19 and what you're talking about as an ADA, Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, is the prevention of the spread of COVID-19. So we probably need to act fast, and I think governments or ministers need to take on board, and instead of having to sit on the intro, they need to make a decision, and decision fast. And it's you would say common sense, but why do they call it common sense when it's not used that way inclined? Yeah?
True. Too true.
So we are still, it's a waiting game, isn't it?
It is. And ADA, as well as the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, will continue to advocate. As you know, we placed our joint statement, and ADA will continue to monitor the numbers coming through and advocate for screening across the country for all populations. And then in terms of what actually happens in the legal space, we'll work collaboratively with our Indigenous brothers and sisters and organisations to try and get an outcome for our mob.
Look, it's a team effort. You did mention NATSL, which is a very important partner in this discussion as such. When we're talking about the medical sense and the national and the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, with the legal sense and the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, it's joint effort, isn't it, to bring this decision to fruition? Yeah,
absolutely. We've all got to pull in together and work together. Our mobs have had a really good response to this. You know, we've been ahead of the game all of the way through since COVID started, and it's because as peoples we've just pulled in and looked after each other, and that's also true in this context of our prisoners. You know, we've got to pull in together, get our organisations working together and advocate for the right outcome.
The other thing that comes to mind, Dr. Chris, is the space of black deaths in custody. And if we're at the table conversing about releasing prisoners from the prison to prevent the COVID-19, if they do not adhere to it, you know what I mean, it could be a case of black deaths in custody, yes?
Absolutely. And as we know from the original finding, all the recommendations still haven't been fully implemented, to the greatest extent. And so not only were we already behind the eight ball with the original report, but if people were to pass from COVID,
blood on your hands is what you're saying, Doctor.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Serious issue.
Well, look, a very important conversation. We'll be watching it very closely. Thank you very much for sharing, Dr. Chris. All the best to you and your deadly team there and to your family as well. Stay safe, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me on.
All the best. Bye-bye.
See ya. See you then.
A deadly yarn there with Dr. Chris Ralla-Baker, and he's the president of Australian Indigenous Doctors Association, and they back calls for the early release of prisoners to prevent the COVID-19, and they working closely in a joint partnership with the National Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Legal Service, NATSL. So AIDA and NATSL are working together and supporting the demands to release imprisoned First Nations people in a historic open letter authored by 10 families who have had loved ones die in custody along the community members with family in prison. So a very important conversation, and the government need to listen and openly in regards to this conversation. Have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black, that deadly number 1-800-422-416. Yeah, I'm with the Baldy Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM, that deadly number. Like I said, we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and that deadly number is 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Do you believe in God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Father and Son? Will you search the sky beyond the stars, around the burning sun? Will you find your truth and keep the faith in a world so mixed up? Good God, good God, He made this world with love. Good God, good God, He's like the mighty sun. God sent His begotten Son to show that He is real. Miracles and Jesus' love, the sick that He healed. Good God, good God.
Yeah, good God. That's Colour Stone here, Dance to the Sun album. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up with someone on the line. Good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Oh, brother, look, I have to say, you know, you can love another man, but don't mean you're going to have the hot for him. Brother, if I was in the studio, I could kick you on the cheek, brother. You might say, oh, I'll put my finger down my tongue, I'll make my...
Knock off.
Brother, I'm loving the program, brother. Good, I'm loving
good.
It, brother.
Good.
Not because I saw you yesterday expose yourself, brother, but I love... You was on social media, brother, and I love that too, given the BBM giving my hearing, brother, and let people know that there is BBM, and I'm loving the conversation, brother. I'm loving the fact that they're all black on us too, brother.
Yes.
What I'm going to do, like some of the community, they got their own social media sites.
Yep.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go on the Palmerland Voice, and there's the stuff that those two answers I reckon be good. But what I'm going to ask you, brother, is how do I wear it? I use, in my talking about all this technological stuff, I use the word doobalaki, but how will I say that they can listen to your program, brother, like something about streaming, or how do I wear it, brother?
You can go to the radio app. On your mobile phone, and you can download the radio app, and then you put in Bumbo Bipper Media, and you can catch all our programs here, especially our local programs as well, brother.
Thank you. Look, I really enjoyed the program, brother. I love the song, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Too deadly. You take care, someone. Thank you. a beautiful compliment. And when you're getting compliments like that, it's a good indication people like what you're doing. And that's what it's all about, and providing a service and a conversation with you, Mob, here on Deadly Program National Talk Black. That daily number, 1-800-422-416. Got about 4 minutes left on the program. I think we're at a caller on the line at the moment. I'm going to catch up and find out who it is there. Good morning. How are you? Hello? No, lost the caller. Yeah, lost the caller. Sorry, missed you there. For your local Mob, stay tuned. Trendy Trev will take you through with the local program, special COVID-19 program, on that same deadly number, 1-800-422-416. And, and also you can check out our Facebook page as well, and our webpage, BBM987FM and Bummer Bipper Media. You can listen that way as well, and podcasts and all our yarns here on your daily program, National Talk Black, a voice for our people. I'm the man steering the ship. I'm just your host. It is your ship that I'm driving, but you, Mob, can add to the ship in the direction that you want to take it on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Shut up, the number again, 1-800-422-416. Or you can text me 24-7, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page, or BBM 98.7 FM. Yes, COVID-19, we're living in that world at the moment. Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline. Don't forget the number, 1-800-020-080. The number again, the Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. If you've got any queries or any concerns, do call them. And but staying safe, you Mob. Adhere to the rules that are in place. And our beautiful mothers, happy Mother's Day for Sunday. And hope you had a good time with your mother. And my beautiful mother with me in spirit. That was my beautiful mother-in-law. And loving them dearly, missing them dearly. But living my life strong with them in my soul. Too beautiful. You Mob. Murray, going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Most importantly, do stay safe. And we'll be yarning soon. Your local Mob, don't go anywhere. Here on BBM 98.7 FM, 1-800-422-416.
I'm a boy.